you came into our father. Yeshua, you came to us alone. Yeshua, the lost sheep of Israel. Yeshua, you came into our own. Yeshua, the lost sheep of Israel. Yeshua, you came into our own.
Hello, everybody. My name is Dave Wilson, and if you can hear the sound of my voice and all this stuff works, we're about to embark on an adventure together, an adventure called Dave Wilson's Park of Radio Liberty. And it's going to be a little bit different today, as you might imagine, listening to the music as we start out. We want you to think Israel. We want you to think Middle East. We want you to think prophecy. And we want you to think about what's really going on in the world today. We've got a great guest, a man whom I've known for these 30 years, actually, but only talked to him a couple of times. You're going to enjoy our time with Dr. David Hocking today, but I have to warn you that the views expressed on this live radio program are my views and those of our guests. They're not necessarily the views reflected by the station that you're listening to or the internet provider, yada, 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 and all that other stuff. So fair warning, okay? And today we're going to be talking about Israel, the Middle East. We're going to be talking about the Bible. We're going to be talking about prophecy. We're going to be talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And David, that's an awful lot to be talking about in just an hour, isn't it?
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Well, I'm just fine. It's great to talk with you, David.
You know, I feel like I've known you for so long because I came to know the Lord in Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa in 1974, and one of the very first radio programs I ever started listening to as a brand new Christian person was the Biola Hour. We won't say how long ago that was, but I remember you. We met one time, and I tried to get you on this program before because I respect your ministry so much for being focused on God's Word, and so many things have changed in the last 30 years since I came to know the Lord, but the Bible remains the same.
Amen.
I thought this morning, or this afternoon rather, we've got our first break coming up in just a few minutes, Dr. Hocking, and maybe we could, you and I, talk just a little bit about what we believe, because people who do not know the Lord wonder why Christians are running around so excited about the idea that Israel is being bombed and Israeli people are being hurt and so forth. Besides the humanitarian end of things, we look to the Bible and we see the name Israel there, and Christians understand all that's going on, but the secular side of things, they don't really understand. What is it that we could do, perhaps, to get people to understand that the Bible is really the Word of God and they ought to pay attention?
Well, there's a lot there you just asked.
I know.
Israel is mentioned 2,566 times in the Bible. It's the biggest subject next to the Lord himself. So I'm sure your listeners will appreciate the fact that we're not going to go over every verse.
No.
We don't have the time. However, just to put it in a nutshell, David, I think that we need to qualify what you just said. You said that most Christians know what we're talking about. David, that's not true. It's not even close to being the truth. 85% of all Christians believe in replacement theology, that the church has replaced Israel. And what we run into every single day across the nation and across Canada, we have people who, in fact, do not understand anything about Israel's place in God's prophetic program.
You know,
we're not rejoicing over anybody being killed, by the way, and not excited about it. That's a tragedy, and
exactly.
We all want peace in the Middle East. But from our biblical perspective, we don't see any peace until the Prince of Peace, the Messiah, comes. And the fact is that before he comes, there's going to be trouble in the Middle East, big time. In fact, it's the centerpiece and focal point of God's final climactic wrath that he's going to pour on the nations of the world for their rejection of him. And it is going to happen in Israel. And Israel will become a bloodbath at Armageddon like the world's never seen. But God will rescue his people.
He will indeed. The Bible tells us that Jerusalem is going to be a cup of trembling for all the nations, and that certainly has come to pass.
A burdensome stone.
Mm, indeed.
It's interesting, the passage you're quoting in Zechariah 12, verse 3, tells us that it'll be a burdensome stone when they're in the siege against Jerusalem and Judah. Many people have used the word intifada as a substitution for the Hebrew word translated siege. because it's not the final battle of Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that what's going on right now may, in fact, be a fulfillment of Zechariah 12's prediction that here's what's going to happen before the Messiah comes and before Armageddon comes.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it, Dr. Hawking, that there is so much media attention on what perhaps would be an otherwise civil kind of a thing going on between a group of people who have called themselves Palestinians and another group of people who are Israeli, who live there, who have this land. And Israel is a very modern country, and Palestine is no country at all. The people who claim to be Palestinians are quite rural, it strikes me, and not up with the 21st century. What is it about Israel, do you suppose, that causes so much media attention to be drawn to that place?
Well, I think that's a fulfillment of prophecy.
I do, too. I'm glad you said it that way, because the people who are there don't even know that they're partaking of it, do they?
Well, let's put it this way. In the United Nations, since last September, there's been over 600 condemnations of Israel, including a big one today. There has been no condemnation of anyone else.
Now, I didn't hear about the one today. I was otherwise engaged. What happened today?
Well, they brought forth their final report on what happened when Israel went after the Hamas leader, and as a result, several so-called innocent civilians were killed.
Mm-hmm.
And they have made a major issue and demanding that Israel withdraw. Not one reference to all the Israelis that have been killed since then, including, as you know, up to the present time.
Absolutely, with so many over this past weekend.
But, you know, this is not a battle between Jew and Arab. That's another confusion. The Arab people are mistreated terribly by the Islamics. And I think the whole world has kind of forgotten that there's a million Arabs who are full Israeli citizens,
mm-hmm.
including members of the Jewish parliament, the Knesset.
And there are many Arab Christians living in Bethlehem and so forth, you know, in Nazareth.
The Islamics are trying to make us believe every Arab is an Islamic, and they pressure them to do so. So when you said about the conditions being rural, please understand you're referring to the Arabs in the so-called territories that are dominated by Islam.
Now, could
we... The war is between Islam and Israel, not between Jew and Arab.
Say that again now. The war is
Between Islam and Israel, not between Jew and Arab.
There you go. Okay.
I've been in many of the Arab refugee camps in Islamic countries, and it's abominable how they treat them. But do we hear any condemnation of that in the Human Rights Commission?
No.
Which is the most anti-Semitic group in the United Nations, whose chairmanship is now Syria. And by the way, Syria also in the rotating chairmanship of the Security Council is now the chair of the Security Council, the nation of Syria.
Unbelievable.
And, of course, Israel can't be a member. And as a vote was today, the United States and Israel opposed the vote, of course, and the rest of them, so many Arab Muslim countries have gotten in there, and they are controlling it. It's a pro-Palestinian United Nations now. Palestine is not the name of the country when Jesus was here.
No, we're going to talk about that when we come back from this first brace here.
You bet.
I've got some copies from a 1921 and a 1961 version of the Encyclopedia Britannica, which have rather interesting things under the entry of Palestine, and we're going to be talking about that in just a couple of minutes.
Okay.
We're talking with Dr. David Hawking, whose ministry is Hope for Today, and you can get his website at hopefortoday.org, or you can call up 800-752-4253, and perhaps you can get on his mailing list. I'm on there. We support it on occasion, and I think you'll find some fascinating newsletters coming out of Hope for Today. That's 800-752-4253, and we're going to be back with more of Radio Liberty and Dr. David Hawking in just a moment.
Book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
One of the admonitions in the Book of Psalms that we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Dave Wilson. I'm sitting in here for Dr. Stanley Monteith on a very special version of Radio Liberty this afternoon on a Tuesday. Oh, what are we? Already about the 6th of August or so. Keep on praying for Dr. Stan, who's enjoying a little bit of a vacation, and I'll be sitting in here for the next week or so as the Lord tarries. And hopefully we'll be having some kinds of programming that you'll enjoy with my own special twist to what we call Radio Liberty. Today, a very special program in my heart because the guest that we have, I have admired and listened to for years and years and years, Dr. David Hocking. Hope for Today, the ministry, 1-800-752-4253. And David, we were just talking about the anti-Semitic attitude in the United Nations, and you brought up the fact that Syria was the chairman of one of those large committees now, but the idea that anti-Semitism is okay has regained an awful lot of popularity in the last 20 months or so, hasn't it?
Yes, and I'm a member of the World Jewish Congress with Jewish background. My wife's Jewish as well.
Mm-hmm.
We get a little paper every month that lists all the anti-Semitic acts and words that are around the world, and it's getting far more severe in the last month or two than ever.
The idea,
it's the same atmosphere as was in Germany before Hitler.
That's what's scary. I was going to say, you know, the things that we seem to be doing here in the United States in terms of abrogating the ideals of the Constitution are also things that were going on in Germany several years before the war, giving up freedom for a sense of security.
That's
and
right.
And the sense that it's okay to blame Jews for things they have no control over is being popularized in comedy. It's not funny, but nevertheless, people think it's funny. And it's okay, once again, not only to deride Christians, which has been going on for some time but hasn't reached its peak by any means, but Jewish people now are beginning to suffer that in a more public forum.
Oh, yes.
It's a scary thing to me.
Well, there's a lot of trouble that is caused by the media because, first of all, Islamic money is already invested big time in American media.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, it's just coming out now. There's been several congressional committees on it, on the control that Saudi Arabia has over this country. They are now the number one foreign investor. They passed Britain and Japan a long time ago.
There was an article today on the web someplace I read printed out that the State Department finally got a briefing to the effect that perhaps Saudi Arabia really isn't our friend. What do you think about that?
Well, I should have said it a long time ago. They're not. In the royal newspaper out of the Royal Court of Saudi Arabia, they call for the death of the great state in the United States every week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're so ignorant of Islam. We got this big, massive campaign that it's a peace-loving religion. Well, it is not. There are some peace-loving people in it who are trapped by it, but it's not peace-loving. It's filled with hatred and violence, and it's committed to the destruction of Israel. In fact, on the Islamic websites themselves, they say that if Israel continues to exist as a nation, then Islam is not true.
The briefing that was given some Pentagon people as well as State Department people said that, quote, Saudi Arabia supports our enemies and attacks our allies. It's an amazing thing that we are either so blind or so hamstrung by the need for oil that we're willing to put up with this kind of nonsense that comes out. There are absolutely two versions of everything that goes on, it seems to me, in the Arabic or Arabic world. One for consumption by the people who understand the language over there, and the other for consumption on Fox News Sunday or Meet the Press.
Yeah, right. Well, if you want to have a real insight, have your listeners go to memri.org.
Okay.
M-E-M-R-I.org. That is a nonpartisan site that translates the Arabic out of the Islamic world into English without comment.
Spell
it
again.
You're going to be shocked at what you read.
Spell that again, M-E-M-R-I?
M-E-M-R-I. We have a link on our site to it.
Okay, great.
But let's come back to a previous issue. You know, the whole word Palestinian has just, it's just crazy.
It is.
There is no Palestinian state. There's no Palestinian culture. There's no Palestinian language. There's no Palestinian people. If you talk about those who have been living in the land of Israel, once it was called Palestinia by Hadrian, in the 2nd century A.D., as a rebuke to Israel, naming it after their ancient enemies, the Philistines. So who are the Palestinians, therefore? Well, the Jews have always been the major majority people living in that land.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, they were still there during the Ottoman Turk, the domination throughout the Middle Ages and all. They never chose to live there. It was a vassal state, but the Jews were there. Also, the United Nations and the League of Nations before it have clear documentation about how many Jews versus how many Arabs were living in the land. Jews have always outnumbered them. In the 1920s, after the Balfour Declaration, the murder and slaughter and barbaric torture of Jews in that land has been the great silent fact that nobody seems to want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And We're seeing prophecy fulfilled. God said that he would bring them back to their land the days before Messiah King would come, and they would never be uprooted out of that land again, according to Amos the prophet, chapter 9, verses 13 to 15. But the satanic strategy of our day is twofold. One, attacked from Islam on the outside, and number two, attacked by the church, thinking they've replaced Israel on the inside.
That we're going
to
want to talk
this,
about.
David, but the nastiest, most awful, anti-Semitic, hateful words ever written to us have been written by so-called Bible-believing Christians. I just have several of them on my desk right here in front of me that I received only today. They're coming in every day. The hatred of Christian people who say they're Bible believers, who say they love the Lord. But they hate the Jew and they hate Israel. And it's unbelievable to me.
Our seminaries, apparently, and some of our Bible colleges have shifted over to this replacement theology ideal.
Oh, big time.
Moody and Criswell College, I believe, and Dallas Seminary and some of the others.
Dallas says no, but
they don't ever talk about it.
My contact with Dallas is through its previous president, Dr. John Walvoord.
Mm-hmm.
He's a friend of mine, and he's been very disturbed about the direction of things.
I'll bet he has been disturbed. And of course, your knowledge of Biola there is very intimate, and is the same thing going on there?
Well, I haven't seen it as much there, but I have seen it all over. First of all, remember that some of the great Bible scholars are Reformed theologians. They are amillennial,
mm-hmm.
which basically means they believe the church has replaced Israel. And because of that, they dominate the Christian world. Example, there's a billion who call themselves Christians who are Roman Catholics, and they're all amillennialists. So are the Anglicans, so are the Episcopal, Presbyterian, Reformed, Covenant. I could go down the line.
Indeed.
The fact is, the majority do not believe that Israel today has any point or place in God's prophetic program. They definitely believe that.
I can remember when I had the idea that our church should sponsor some tours to Israel, and I was motivated to do it, being an elder there and on staff, albeit briefly. And I did wind up taking four tours over there, which was great. But many of the people who were on staff, seminary graduates, looked at me and their eyes kind of glazed over, you know, saying, well, this is totally irrelevant. And it wasn't until we got some people over there for the first time when they saw the land and felt that that supernatural power that seems to be there as you land in the airport at Tel Aviv, you feel like you have returned home. It's an amazing thing.
That's exactly right.
The Christian people need to go there.
I'm going again in October, and this is my third time this year.
Praise God for that. We'll want to talk a little bit more about that. Let me read what it says in the Encyclopedia Britannica of 1921. This is just a couple of sentences. It says, in the EB, Palestine, a geographical name of rather loose application. Entomological studies or strictness would require it to denote exclusively the narrow strip of coastland once occupied by the Philistines, from whose name it is derived. Now, this is interesting, the sentence here. It is, however, conventionally used as a name for the territory, which in the Old Testament is claimed as an inheritance of the pre-exilic Hebrews. Isn't that neat? That's from 1921 in the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah.
They knew. They had no inkling what was going to happen in 1948 back in 1921.
No, they didn't.
But it was fascinating to for them to say that it really is an area that was belonging to the Hebrews, just as a matter of history. Well, they're never going to come back together. I think one of the most exciting things, frankly, going on in prophecy is the fact that there is an Israel, don't you?
Absolutely. Israel's the centerpiece of God's prophetic program. We need to keep our eye on Israel.
No kidding. Golda Meir said, who would keep your eye on us? We don't have any oil. We don't have anything. Well, she was wrong.
God keeps his eye on us.
No kidding. Well, you know, the Palestinians claim that they're fighting for a homeland that was taken away from them by the evil Jews. And, of course, as you so eloquently put it just a few minutes ago, there's no sovereign nation, there's no coinage, there's no stamps, there's no archaeology, there's no nothing to point to any kind of a so-called Palestinian presence.
Yeah, but let's clear something up that's really confusing. The Jews never confiscated any land from any Palestinian Arab. That's a lie, a bold-faced lie. The Islamics say that if you tell a lie to the infidel and it's big enough and you tell it often enough, people begin to believe it.
Exactly.
And the fact is, that's a lie. Jews paid exorbitant amounts of money when those Holocaust victims came in and won that war. They paid tremendously to even get any land at all, and it was land that nobody wanted. Also, they didn't drive out 3 million refugees like Aravat says. That is a lie also. According to the United Nations, there was only approximately 250,000 Arabs living in the land. They were asked to leave by seven Arab nations who said, you'll only need to be gone a week because we'll come in and kill all those Holocaust survivors and you won't need to worry.
And
God had other plans.
Exactly.
When they were defeated, then all of a sudden it gets, you know, interesting. Now, in 1954, that's just 6 years after they declared Israel a state, in 1954, Arafat, who's an Egyptian and a terrorist, founded the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Now, they kicked him out of Lebanon, and the United Nations even said that Jordan was the Palestinian state. Jordan kicked them out. The only nation in the Middle East to take these terrorists was Israel.
And we're going to have to stop right there because we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to be back with Dr. David Hawking after this word of importance coming up right now. Don't you dare go away.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps. And it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
A lot of truth to that statement, and I certainly wish that I could follow you, Dr. Hawking, to Galilee in October. Give us a little bit of the detail about your trip and a phone number where people might call if they're interested.
Well, again, it's 1-800-75-BIBLE, 752-4253. We are leaving on October the 3rd, and we'll return on October 20th, so it's a big tour. It's 18 days.
Great.
And we will also go to Jordan.
And Petra.
We'll go up to Jerash to see one of the most amazing archaeological sites ever, one of the 10 cities of the Decapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about as big, if not bigger, than Ephesus, if
wow.
people have ever been there. It's huge. We will also go down to Petra, the rock city, and we're going to cross over the new opening on the south and come right across to the Gulf of Aqaba at Eilat and stay there. And then come up through the Sinai Desert, see Solomon's Mines and the kibbutz in the Sinai. And then we're going to, of course, we'll be in Israel, too. And it's just a fabulous tour we have planned. We're excited about it.
And that number is
800-75-BIBLE.
75-BIBLE or 752-4253. And the website for Dr. Hawking's ministry is www.hopefortoday.org. And there you can find out more about that ministry and all of the wonderful cassette tapes and CDs and books, in fact, that Dr. Hawking has produced over the years. Fabulous resources for your understanding of what's really going on in the world today, or if you're new to the Christian way of life, you'll find some things in there that will be foundational in your understanding of the joy that should be in your heart as having found the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I know that's our passion, and perhaps, listeners, you can understand a little bit more about our passion when we begin to talk about the land over there and what an effect it has on one when you go there. I'm sure with all the times, Dr. Hawking, that you've been there and seen as the hundreds of people that you've led through the land, you've probably noticed a change in the way they view the Bible, haven't you?
Well, I think there's been a lot of changes. For instance, 25 years ago, there were no Israeli Messianic congregations at all in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They were all run by Christian missionaries, primarily dealing with, I'd say church-type people or tourists who were over there. But now there's over 110 Israeli Messianic congregations pastored by Israelis.
Isn't that marvelous?
And so that's a big change. Also, we have to remember that Jesus is quite popular now, Yeshua. They don't hesitate to talk about him like they used to.
Now, when you say that, are you talking about Messianic Jews?
No, I'm even talking about the secular Jews.
Now, what do they say about the Messiah?
Well, I think it's not a question of the Messiah in their mind. It reminds me of a Jewish rabbinical meeting I went to here in Orange County, California, and the speaker was one of the men who ordains rabbis in this country, Elvis Rivkin, who's claims to be in the direct line of the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
He's written a great book called Hidden Pharisees, and he did a sermon on who crucified Jesus. And I went and heard it, and his opening words were, Yeshua was the greatest rabbi we have ever known in Jewish history, and we need to honor him as such. And he said the problem is that we need to get him back from the Gentiles who've corrupted him.
Oh, dear.
Well, that gives you an idea. But Yeshua and his teachings and so forth have become quite popular now.
That's amazing. That's a marvelous step towards what I believe to be a great
unfolding. Oh, I think God is definitely preparing the Jewish people to receive the Messiah.
Absolutely. And times are close. And of course, we always think that times are close. And we're taught in the Bible, of course, never to set dates or anything. But
yeah, we don't know the day nor the hour. That's true.
It's fascinating, though, how many different aspects of society are coming into, going down this funnel, if you will, things that we wouldn't have thought anything about 10 years ago or 20 years ago, both economically, sociologically, militarily, with the United Nations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, communications, technology, all beginning to focus, if you tie the dots together, about something that...
Well, it's hard to keep up with it.
Yeah, it just makes the back of the book.
We have to remember that, as the Bible predicted, we're going to see a lot of deception. That's exactly what we have.
Well, that's what we've got in this replacement theology business.
Yeah, and there's deception about peace in the Middle East also. Remember, the prophet said that the leaders of Israel will be seduced by outsiders to believe that there is peace when there is no peace.
True peace only comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, and peace in the land comes only when the Messiah returns.
Exactly. I wish our politicians, even those who proclaim Christ as Savior, would bring that up publicly every now and again. I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk like that. Have you?
Well, I do.
No, I mean
but
a politician.
I don't get invited back.
I mean a politician, someone who's like a senator or a representative or something like that.
There are a few. See, Satan also has deceived people about the promise of the land to Israel. That's the crux of the argument. And people are so confused. One of the funniest things, I'll tell your listeners this story, and they'll appreciate it. In September of 1993, when the Oslo peace process was announced to the world, one of the funny things that happened in Oslo, Norway, in those negotiations, was that Arafat claimed that they had a right to the land, that they were here, before Abraham. He said that in Genesis 12, it says when Abraham came to the land, that the Canaanite was in the land. And he argued in front of the Oslo Peace Process Council that they were descendants of the Canaanites. Now, that's not true for him. He's an Egyptian. But he was arguing that the Palestinian Arabs were. And after he said that, and all the news people were very impressed and all that, as they're walking out for a break, one of his associates came up to him and said, "Yes, sir, I don't think that's a very good idea." He said, "Why is that?" He says, "Because God told the Jews to kill all the Canaanites." So then he started arguing that they were the ancestors of the Philistines. But the truth is that Arabs are the descendants of the 12 sons of Ishmael. And they really are roaming in all these countries. Another thing I've told news networks, and I've, by the way, I've been interviewed by almost every major newspaper in the world. That happened to me last fall when I had the Minister of Tourism, Rehan Namzaviv, was assassinated outside my hotel room.
Yes, I remember that.
And we were interviewed, and it was amazing how confused they are. When I said them, they were talking about all these Arab nations. I said, "What Arab nations?" They were astonished to learn Iran is not Arab, Iraq is not Arab, Syria is not Arab, Jordan is not Arab, Egypt is not Arab, and even Saudi Arabia is not Arab. They are the descendants of Sheba and Dedan, the grandsons of Abraham's second wife, Keturah. They're not Arab at all. But people don't want to believe that. See, the Arab people... you might find this interesting, David, that we have tremendous support among the Arab people here at Hope for Today, and I'll tell you why. Because we're bringing out issues that even make them cry. Just last weekend, I had a whole Arab family who have just immigrated here to the United States from Israel. They were in Gaza Strip, and the whole family's here with their children. And as I finished talking about who are the Arabs and what the Islamics did, they were in tears. And they came up to me and said, "Are there other Americans that are telling the truth like this?"
Mm.
They said, "We used to pray that someone in America would stand up and tell the truth. This is a battle of Islam, and Islam is controlling the Arab peoples and treating them terribly.
Let's talk.
And hardly anybody wants to hear it.
Let's talk just a little bit about the fact that Islam has declared war on these United States of America.
Oh, that's nothing new.
The idea that Islam is simply after Israel, as Yasser Arafat said, by Allah, I swear that the Palestinian people are prepared to sacrifice the last boy and the last girl so that the Palestinian flag will be flown over the walls.
Well, that's
the churches
a lie.
And the mosques of
They're
Jerusalem.
They're not prepared, I'll tell you that.
Well,
they're being forced.
The press would certainly have us believe with the kinds of pictures that they promote, you know, the little babies dressed up as bombers and the kind of summer camps that they give and all this nonsense.
Really sad.
It's a terrible thing. You can't help but wonder that do people grow up there having any kind of pleasant experience at all? I've seen happy Palestinian folks who are Israeli citizens. They drove our bus. They guided our tours. They served us at the Ambassador Hotel and the Seven Arches Hotel, all those wonderful places. They had great food. They were friendly people. There must be some small group that is able to manipulate them. But why is it, Dr. Hawking, that they're coming after the United States now when we're the source of most of the revenue that's flowing in there because of the oil?
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, this whole idea that we support Israel and not them is a flat-out lie. We never even supported Israel before the Gulf War, and never gave them any weapons at all. In fact, we were working against them. If you want to read about that, that book called America's Secret War Against the Jews is absolutely mind-boggling. But anyway, Israel's the only country in the world that's ever paid back the loans that the U.S. has given. But we gave total money, $7 billion to Egypt. They never fired a shot. $2 billion to Syria. They never did anything. Saudi Arabia regularly getting billions. This whole thing is a ripoff.
No doubt.
But when we talk about this, America is going to be attacked because we're called the Great Satan. We are behind Israel. They believe the only reason Israel exists is because of America.
The idea that the Muslim religion, if you will, Islam, simply wants to eradicate the Jews is a false notion, obviously, because in their writings they say that all infidels should be eliminated, don't they?
Jews and Christians. Let me tell you what's on their website. People, if they want to go to it, there's a website for Christians to look at called Islam.tc.
Islam.pc.
Okay. And you can learn about the second coming of Jesus and what they say about him. They try to be complimentary, but they don't believe he died on the cross. They don't believe he rose again from the dead. And they do believe he's coming back again at Armageddon. And he's going to kill all the infidels, Jews and Christians. And then he's going to live for 19 years and have children. Then he'll die and no more Jesus. we're in a war against Islam. Look, Islam is the devil's prize strategy of the end times. I happen to believe Armageddon will be engineered by a holy jihad.
Well, I have that feeling, too. The Bible says that the enemy comes from the north, and you look at the disintegrated Soviet Union now and all the Islamic nations
up
there.
Not the northern power to Israel.
But they're north of, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but let's put it in a biblical context. Who is north of Israel in the Bible? One, Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Two, what is present-day Iraq, or ancient Assyria and Babylon, and three, Elam, or Persia, or Iran. And there you have it. The Fertile Crescent is always north, even though it bends around, because you can't go straight across the Saudi Arabian desert. So a lot of us are confused about what's the northern power.
Yep.
And when he starts to list the nations in Ezekiel 38, who's the first one? First one is Persia, or Iran. Ethiopia, which is ancient Sudan, and Put or Libya. These are the three greatest terrorist states in the Middle East.
Makes a lot of sense when you begin to look at it Through the Mind and Eyes and Speech of Dr. David Hawking, who's our guest this afternoon on Radio Liberty. We've got one more slight commercial break here. We're going to talk to you a little bit after we come back from the break about what's going on here at Radio Liberty. But right now, don't you go away. We'll open the phone lines up at 464-8295 for your questions and comments, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
About 6 or 7 minutes to go on a Tuesday's edition of Radio Liberty. My name is Dave Wilson, and we're talking with Dr. David Hawking. The phone number to find out about Hope for today is 1-800-752-4253 or www.hopefortoday.org. And I think there you'll find information about the upcoming tour of the Holy Land, which is going in October. Is that right?
Yeah, but it's not on the web.
It's not on the web. Okay.
No, they need to call us for a brochure, and we have a cutoff at September 1st. If they don't get it in by then, they can't go.
Okay. Well, that's, if you're interested in that sort of thing, you need to get busy right now. And the number, once again, is 1-800-752-4253. If you care to call in with a question or comment, we'll open the lines up at 888-245-4237 anywhere across this nation that you hear the sound of this radio program, or locally here in the greater Monterey Bay Area, the Central California coast, at 464-8295. I want to ask you for your opinion, Dr. Hawking, before we get too far away. Why can't these people, well, I shouldn't say that. That's a ridiculous question. I'll change my mind. What is it about the religion that causes these people to want to destroy everything that isn't just going along with what they say? Do their holy words say exactly that?
That's a great question. Because Islam, I was listening to a public news program. They said Islam means peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually an Islamic leader saying that. Well, that's a lie.
Mm.
Islam means submission. And that's one reason. They believe they're going to have the entire world submissive to Islam.
And it's imperative that we underline entire world. It's not just Israel that they want.
Oh,
it's
no.
Not just the Middle East. It's the entire world, ladies and gentlemen. We've got all kinds of callers coming up here.
Yeah, well, let's take them.
Let's see what George, calling from Toronto. How are you this afternoon?
Yes, good evening. How are you?
We're great. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. In light of the fact that we have some very powerful families that have controlled the oil for 100 years, and to their European and Americans, in light of what's happening with Israel, what does Dr. Hawking have to say about that? Because it seems that their control is everywhere. And what's their purpose? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, that's a great question. And my comment is that we should never, never bow the knee to oil. Never. If we need alternate forms of energy, fine. But the fact of the matter is we need more exploration in other areas also, and stop depending upon Middle Eastern oil. And we have failed to understand how Israel operates. Israel gets nothing in the way of oil from any Islamic country. But they still survive.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that we've compromised over and over again, and the pockets of many oil executives have gotten thick with money. But we need to stand for what's right, no matter what. And our God has promised that he will bless those who bless Israel, and he will curse him who curses Israel.
I wish that verse were up in the halls of our legislative offices.
Well, it's interesting to me, every time our president opens his mouth about a Palestinian state and compromises, a disaster happens.
Mm-hmm. The idea that we're at war here in these United States is something that hasn't escaped the news, of course, but I don't think a lot of American citizens have had their lives changed, and it doesn't seem, frankly, that our president has changed much in his ideal or whatever is going on. I mean, this is a little bit off our subject for the last 50 minutes or so, David, but, you know, yesterday they showed pictures of our president and his father in a golf court having a good time talking about how terrible it was that those 14 civilians, we keep coming back to that, were killed by those nasty Israeli. What do you think it's going to take to get the American people to wake up to the fact that there are terrorists amongst us and we are going to endure things and perhaps not even unlike Israel, God forbid, when it comes down to the fact that they have decided to go all out in their terroristic thing? What's with the president? Why isn't he more concerned? This is kind
of
naive.
Well, there's a lot of pressure on him. I think he is concerned. I don't think he knows what to do. The one thing I have come back to over and over again, having contact with world political leaders,
mm-hmm.
in God's good grace that he has allowed that for me to happen, I have found out that they don't know what they're doing. They really don't. The only one who knows what's happening is God himself.
I'm into that.
God is on his throne and the Lord reigns. That's what the Bible says, that he still is. He's active in the affairs of men. He sets up kings and takes them down. And he's working out his great plan to bring it to a grand and glorious climax. The vengeance of God's wrath will be poured out on this world that's rejected him.
And that's enough to get anybody thinking about how can we escape God's wrath. What's your answer to that?
Well, David, there's only one solution of God throughout the entire Bible, whether you're reading the Old Testament, what Jews call the Tanakh, or the New Testament. The fact of the matter is, there's a person whom God has pointed to over and over again. In fact, his entire sacrificial system pointed to him. And that's what the one we call the Messiah of Israel. He's the one that in Isaiah 45 says, "Look unto me, all you ends of the earth, and be ye saved." Yeshua, who claims to be the Messiah, and the evidence is overwhelming. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." In Acts 4, we read Peter saying, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." It was Yeshua. We call him Jesus after the Greek word, Jesus. Say it into English as Jesus. His official name was Yehoshua, abbreviated Yeshua, which means Yahweh, or the Lord is salvation. He's the only way. And according to the Bible, we must, and there are many words describing this, the word to believe, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be saved. The word call, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have many words like receive, as many as receive him. To them he gave the right to become the children of God. So no matter what word you're talking about, we're talking about faith in what God says in the Bible. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And what that Bible says about Jesus is that he died on the cross for the sins of the world. And that there is salvation only through him. We're all sinners. We need a Savior. And we can't earn it. And human performance will never acquire it. We must put our trust in what Jesus has already done. And that is grace and mercy. We're saved by grace, not by our own efforts. And the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us.
Amen to that.
And we have to bow the knee to him and confess that he is our Lord. And by the way, that New Testament requirement in Philippians 2, 9-11 is a quotation from the prophet Isaiah. So all of the teaching about how to become free from the coming wrath of God is all the same, whether you're in the Old Testament or New Testament. The Messiah of Israel is the only hope.
Amen. And the nation of Israel is going to be redeemed when Jesus comes back. And,
yep. He's going to pour out his spirit on the house of Israel, and they will look on him whom they pierced.
We need to be very careful how we speak of Israel, because I don't think it's changed that
Israel
is the apple of God's eye.
The palm of God's hand.
Amen to that. Thank you, David.
Never forget them and never forsake them.
I appreciate your taking some time out of your busy schedule to be with the people here.
I'm delighted to do so.
I look forward to talking to you again real soon. Thank you.
All right, David. God bless you.
Thank you, and God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was Dr. David Hawking. Let me give you the numbers once again. 800-752-4253 for Hope for Today, and also www.hopefortoday.org. We've got one caller, Larry from Salinas. Sorry I couldn't get to you. I got to wind things up here. Would you care to make a comment? No more questions.
Yeah, no question. No, I just wanted to thank you guys for what you do. I don't know if you remember me. I'm Larry Mylander.
Used to
be a friend of yours in Santa Cruz.
Sure.
Years ago. Anyway, I listen to you here every day I can with you and Stan, and I listen to David Hawking every morning I can on KKMC, and it is what David just ended with. It has the politics of it is just politics. What it has to do with is our hearts, where we are with the Lord, and what we're going to do serving him. So.
Hey, thank you very much, Larry. I appreciate that voice out of the past. Gosh, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Yep. God bless you guys.
Bye-bye now.
Okay.
You know, I've got to mention a couple of things here before our time is up. But when we talk with people like David Hawking here on this program, you've got to understand that we are passionate about what's going on in the world today, and our whole goal in life, if you will, is to get the word out to you, to educate you. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from bringing priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." That scares me to death. What Hosea has there in chapter 4, verse 6, it ought to scare you too. And you need to inform yourself so that you can, in the very least, talk to about these things to your children. Remember, your failure to be informed doesn't make me somebody out on the fringe. You need to educate yourself. And one of the best ways that you can say thank you for the kinds of educational programming that Dr. Stan brings you here on Radio Liberty is to call 1-800-544-8927 and say, "Hey, I want to become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters." And for $20 or more, and I underline that "or more," we'll send you the four best tapes of the month and Dr. Stan's week or monthly newsletter. New one just coming off the press even as we speak. You need to do it. You need to show support. You need to stand shoulder to shoulder along with Dr. Stan, myself, and all of the people who work up here so tirelessly to get this kind of educational content out to you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, our nation is in peril. We have lost many of the things that we consider to be our freedoms. We're going to be talking more about those things tomorrow with Dave Russell. But, you know, if you don't inform yourself, I could talk on the radio forever and ever, and so could Stan. But every man and woman of you need to go out and do something about it. If it's only tell a neighbor, tell your children, pray for Radio Liberty. 1-800-544-8927 is the number to call to become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And my name's Dave Wilson. As the Lord tarries, I'll see you tomorrow.
come in there.